We mentally prepared ourselves for Ramadan. So Rajab goes by, Shaaban comes in, Ramadan comes in. We wait for the crescent and the moon to be sighted. But after it's sighted, the days and the nights go fast. We wait for Layal Qadr, and we are already towards the end of it now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this night in a very special way. The Prophet in the khutbah where he was welcoming the month of Ramadan, where he says, قَدْ أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ. He describes the month of Ramadan as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes with maghfirah and rahmah and barakat. And then he says that this is the month which is best of all the months. The days of Ramadan are best among all the days of the year. The nights of Ramadan are best of all the nights in the year. And then he goes on to the hours. He says even the hours of the month of Ramadan are more, you know, valuable and important than any other nights, hours of the whole year. And this is where we come to realize that among all these important nights of Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr has a very special place. It is actually at the top. If you look at the Islamic calendar, the eve of 15 Sha'ban is also a very important night. Shias and Sunnis both celebrate that. We have an added, you know, cause there because also the eve of the Viladat of our present Imam. And so, we also have an amal for that, eve of 15th Sha'ban. But you will see that the A'imma have used the term that this is the best of nights, ba'da layali al-qadr. The eve of 15th Sha'ban is the best of nights after the Laylatul Qadr. So Laylatul Qadr is right at the top. Everything else is compared to Laylatul Qadr. And of course, there are basically two things that we have to keep in mind. We're done two Laylatul Qadr. This is the third one. I'll come to the issue why we have three. There are two reasons. Number one, it is connected to the revelation of the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qadr, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. We have sent it down on the night of destiny or the night of power. What is that? We have sent it down. There is no dispute among Muslims that here anzalnahu, who here refers to the Quran. As he says in Surah Baqarah, you know, when he talks about fasting, he doesn't give us he just says some days fasting is prescribed on you. Then later on, after a passage or so, he says, it is in Shahru Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. So he's connecting the Shahru Ramadan with the revelation of the Quran. Of course, we also have a celebration in Rajab, 28th. Which is Mi'raj as well as Mab'as, the day when Quran's revelation started in the cave of Hira on the Prophet, the words Iqra bi-ismi rabbika alladhi started. But this is where we have to come to realize that there are two types of revelation. One is known as Tanzil and the other is known as Inzal. I should have probably put that as a question, but I didn't have the time today to do that. What is the difference between Tanzil of the Quran and Inzal of the Quran? We talked about it before. Tanzil is basically the gradual revelation of the Quran, which happened in 22 years and few months and few days. This is starting from 48th year of the Prophet's life in the cave of Hira with the words Iqra, and ending towards the end of his life. There is another, and that revelation, of course, the gradual revelation which came in a piecemeal form, was sent for the people. The Prophet was the messenger. He had to convey that to the Ummah. But then every year during the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send down the entire Quran in its complete form, all at once, on the heart of the Prophet, which was nothing to do with the Ummah. This was a personal, you know, gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his most, beloved messenger. And this used to happen every month of Ramadan in the night, which is known as Laylatul Qadr. And that is known as Inzal, not Tanzil. Inzal means, one-time revelation of the entire Quran. And that was not to convey to the people. This is where, the Prophet, in a way, had a knowledge about the ayat even before they were revealed gradually. And so this is basically one aspect of this sacredness of this night is that it is when the Inzal of the Quran happened. Another is the entire, the word Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, the night of power or the night of destiny. And I'll come to that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers this to be so important that he asked this as a question, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَادِرِ. And you wouldn't know what is Laylatul Qadr until I tell you. You don't have the ability to comprehend the importance of this night. And then he responds himself, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. That this one night of Qadr is better than 1,000 months. So if you look at it, because we are talking about a night, 1,000 months, basically you are looking at one night of Qadr better than 30,000 nights. Put it that way, probably then the numbers will go up. You'll appreciate more. It's not only 1,000 months, if we are talking about, being better than 30,000 nights. And this is where we are told that this, because of the Qadr element of this, this is also the night of dua. So it is the night of Quran, it is also the night of dua, where our imams have basically asked us that this is the night that you should be praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can ask whatever you want. There is no limitation there. But the most important thing you will see in most of the du'as that we have part of the amal of Laylatul Qadr, the top priority is given to istighfar and tawbah, asking for forgiveness of our sins. Because everything in the akhirah depends on that. Our salvation, our life with bliss, everything depends on the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Probably that's one of the reasons why one of the recommendations for tonight, being Laylatul Qadr, is Dua Tawbah from Sayfi Sajjadiyah of the fourth Imam. Why that Dua? Means there is more emphasis about Dua Tawbah than any other Dua there. And that is probably because Imams want us to maximize the blessedness of this night and repent and confess our sins and ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Another part of dua in Laylatul Qadr is attached to this name, Qadr. Because when we talk about Qadr, the more better translation would be the night of destiny. Because there are certain things in our life where the results are not in our hands. Two most important examples I would give. We can take care of our health, manage, our nutrition, our food, our resting and everything. But how long are we going to live? Nobody knows. The duration of our life is muqaddarat. This is where the word qadr comes from it. This is from the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He decides. And actually, he has decided from day one. In Surah Mulk, he says he is the one who created death and life. He talks about death first and life later on. And so, when we talk about the duration of our life, this is one of the muqaddarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another most obvious and relevant example is the issue of the extent, maximum level of risk and sustenance. We had to work hard. It doesn't come free. It's not that Allah, you know, says you sit home, I decreed how much you'll get. No. We had to work hard. But what is the maximum? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. This is the muqaddarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will see some people, you know, work so hard, still don't get what they were expecting. Others have more easy way. They also work and they get it easily. This is where we have to realize that there are two parts of this, you know, deal. We had to do certain things, but the result is not guaranteed by us. Look at the issue of shafa. If a person is not feeling well, it is wajib on him or her to go to the doctor. You know, seek the cure. When you get the prescription, go and get it. It is wajib to use the medication. But does that treatment by the doctor or the medication that we take, does it guarantee that we will be cured at the end? No. But we have to do that part which is necessary on us. End result is not in our hands. It is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore in the past, you know, Muslim hukama and tabib and doctors, whenever they used to write their prescription, they would start with the words, "Wa huwa shafi." He is the healer. I am just, you know, helping you, but I don't guarantee you the, you know, result. I am doing whatever I know about this situation. And so when we talk about the muqaddarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once a year lets the angels know those muqaddarat, those issues that He is decreeing about me and you, to the angels who are, you know, responsible to manage the universe. Quran uses a term for the angels where it says al-mudabbirat. Mudabbirat means they are the managers. Managers of the issues of this dunya, this universe. And so they manage on the behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once a year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the plan. What is the plan for this fellow for this year? Is he going to die this year or not? What is the maximum, you know, level of his risk and sustenance? If he is going to be ill, is he going to get the shafa at the end or not? All these things are basically decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the malaika are informed that night. So it is actually an annual, basically, assignment given to the malaika regarding each one of us. And therefore, it becomes very important for us to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, besides the issue of maghfirah, to pray that whatever He is decreeing tonight for us, about our long life, about our sustenance, all other important issues of life, we have to pray this night in order that whatever He is decreeing is going to be good for our dunya and akhirah, or at least for our akhirah, if not for our dunya. And this is where we see all these amal that we have. You know, just to give you an idea between our role and Allah's decree and the issue of sustenance, for example, go home, not tonight, and read the translation of the dua that you recite after namaz isha. There you will see the interplay between abd and rab. Because that is the dua where you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, I don't know where is my sustenance that you have decreed. Through whom? In which place? Is it in the land or in the mountains? On the earth or on the sky?" This is at a time when there were no aeroplanes flying, when these duas came from our imams. So we are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I don't know where you have placed my risk and sustenance. لَيْسَ لِي عِلْمٌ بِمَوْضِعِ رِزْقِ. But then we say to Allah that, oh Allah, at least show me. Show me the direction so I can move in that direction. It means I'm not saying I'll sit idle home. I will work and go and seek it. But at least you show me the direction where you have placed my sustenance so that I do not waste my time in going in other directions where there is nothing at the end for me. And so this is where we see the human efforts with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes together, and the dua becomes actually the medium in that communication. Salawat pranay parah. And so it's the night of Quran, that's why we use this amal. We pray through the Quran and the names of Allah in it. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of our ma'sumeen. Why do we do that? Because when we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our muqaddarat, whatever He is decreeing for us, be better for our dunya and akhirah, before this night comes to the end, because it is a night which is khair and peace, hatta matla'il fajr. Before the night comes to the end, there is a possibility that if we link ourselves to the Imam of the time, who is Sahib Laylatul Qadr, and seek his intercession, there is a possibility in the final decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the wasita of the Imam of the time. And that is where we do this amal of, you know, Quran on our hand, overhead, and reciting the names of the Imams. And this is actually reflected in the words where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكُةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. تَنَزَّلْ, coming down of the malaika. Every year, every Laylatul Qadr, this is not commemoration or celebration of an event. This is an event which is there live. It is a real event which happens every year. And this is where, you know, the malaika come. Where do they go? This is where I asked the other Muslims. The Khilafat system ended in 1925. Where do the malaika go? And I ask this question all the time. Do they go to Washington, London, Paris, Moscow, Beijing? No. Not even to Mecca or Medina or Najaf or Qum. They're all holy places for us. The malaika come down in the presence of the Imam of the time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajul sharif. And so before the night comes to the end, there is still room for whatever muqaddarat has been done about us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can seek the intercession of the Imam, that if there is room for change to make it better, please, we ask you to help us in this matter. You know, sometimes when we say such things, it's very easy to say, oh, you know, this is exaggeration, this is ghuluv. No, I would like to actually share with you a conversation in Kufa towards the last days of Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is not during the time of the Ghaybat, the Zarbat or Shahadat, before that. There was a very close companion of the Imam by the name of Haris al-Hamdani. Hamdani, this is their Yemeni tribe. And another one known as Asbagh bin Nubata. The narration is from Asbagh bin Nubata in the book of Sheikh Mufid. And he says, I was there when, in the presence of the Imam in Kufa, when Haris Hamdani came in. And he said, you know, I'm just coming from the masjid. People there are talking about you, referring to the Imam. You know, and then they are talking about the Khulafa, you know, some of them are saying, oh, so-and-so, it was first, and then, you know, priority-wise or importance-wise. And there were some who were talking about you, the others who were putting you down. And so he asked the Imam, can you, you know, clarify things for us? And Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about himself. It's kind of a long conversation. I'll just start with the first line and then go to the relevant part for Laylatul Qadr, where he says, Ala inni Abdullah wa akhu rasulihi. Verily, I am the servant of Allah and the brother of His messenger. Wa siddiquhu al-awwal. Siddiq has two meanings. One is somebody who is true, inside out, from all dimensions. From aqidah, from amal, to akhlaq, to taqwa. You know, it's not only speech. Sadiq and siddiq are two different things. And one is the issue of doing tasdiq, confirming the truth about somebody else. So he says, I am siddiquhu al-awwal. I am the first siddiq of Rasulullah. Saddaqtuhu wa adam bayna ar-ruhi wal-jasad. I confessed to the nubuwwat of Rasulullah when Adam was still being made, being the stage of, you know, the body and the soul. And then he says, I am the first one to confirm in his nubuwwat in this dunya. He was there in the cave of Hira when Jibreel came for the first time with the ayat of Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And then, you know, he goes on. And then it comes to this issue, وَأُوتِيتُ فَهْمَ الْكِتَابِ وَفَصْلُ الْخِطَابِ وَإِلْمُ الْقُرُونِ وَالْأَسْبَابِ. Allah has given me the understanding of the book, the Quran, and وَفَصْلُ الْخِطَابِ, and my words are the final words in whatever I say. And He has given the knowledge of the past and the present. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet, gave me the knowledge that with one key from him, I was able to, you know, open 1,000 doors of knowledge. And then he says, وَأُيِّدْتُ وَاتُّخِسْتُ وَامْدُدْتُ بِلَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ نَفَلًا. Laylatul Qadr and the process did not end with Rasulullah. Laylatul Qadr continued even after that. And it is continuing even now. We are celebrating it tonight. And he says, Uyitu, I have been blessed and chosen and supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Laylatul Qadr as a gift from Him. Laylatul Qadr, this whole process of I be the one who will have the final decision there, you know, in as an intercessor for my followers. You know, this is a gift that Allah gave to me. And then he says, وَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ يَجْرِي لِي. This will continue with me. وَلَمَنُ اسْتُحْفِظَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي مَا جَرَى اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ. And this will continue among the protected ones among my descendants for as long as the day and the night continues. So this Laylatul Qadr given as a gift to Ali, he says, this will continue even after me as long as this dunya is there. حَتَّى يَرِثُ اللَّهُ الْعَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits the whole world and whatever is there, means till the day of Qiyamah. And so this is where we, you know, link this whole process of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the Quran, doing the du'as, and seeking the intercession of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi ajma'een. Let me end one with this importance of the eve of 23rd. You know, the Prophet did not specify which night. The Imams who came, almost 2 centuries they were with their followers. And they were questioned many times, but they never specified. They said, do it on eve of 19th, eve of 21st, eve of 23rd. And there should be a question for those who say, oh, why can't we have one Eid? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to keep the Laylatul Qadr a mystery, it is one night, it's not three nights, but we don't know which one. And therefore our Imam says, you know, what's the problem? Just do all three nights, you know, so you don't miss out. So it's one of the three nights, we have been told. Even the Sunnis don't have a specific night in the ahadith that they have in their hadith literature. They basically say that the last 10 nights, odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And they emphasize more on the eve of 27th. For us, among the three nights, eve of 19th and 21st and 23rd, the Shia hadith that we have from our Imams, it seems more emphasis goes to the eve of 23rd, which we are going to celebrate after Maghrib here. And just to end that with a hadith from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. Where he talks about the barakat of this night of eve of 23rd, he says, whoever keeps the night vigil doesn't sleep at this night. So this is important. It's not just the issue of, you know, doing the amal and then khuda hafiz. No, go, even if you go home early, that's okay. But keep awake. Keep yourself busy in reciting Quran and du'as. And especially, you know, what he says, وَصَلَّ فِيهِ مِئَةَ رَكَعَ. Whoever keeps the awake for the whole night and recites 100 rakat. So it's emphasized by the fifth imam. He says, whoever does this, you will get six things. وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مَعِيشَتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase his sustenance in this dunya. Number two, وَكَفَاهُ أَمْرُ مَنْ يُعَادِيهِ. He will support him in issues where he is facing with his enemies. Number two, أَعَاذَهُ مِنَ الْغَرْقِ وَالْحَدَمِ وَالْسَرَقِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ السِّبَعَ. And Allah will protect him from a death through drowning or by collapsing of the house or through robbery or other things or even be attacked by the animals. Number four, وَدَفَعَ عَنْهُ هَوْلَ مُنْكَرٍ وَنَكِيرٍ. Allah will take away the fear of munkir and nakir from him in the grave. Number five, وَخَرَجَ مِنْ قَبْرِهِ نُورٌ. And when he comes out, you know, he will have a nur which will actually enlighten the people around. And he will get his book in his right hand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a pass, you know, away from fire of Jahannam, on the Sirat, wa amanun min al-azab. And number six, yadkhulu al-jannah bighayri hisab. He will enter Jannah without any hisab and accountability on that day. Yuj'alu fiha min rufaqa. And he will be placed in the company of whom? An-nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada was-salihin wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa. He recited this ayat from the Quran, to be in the companionship of the Anbiya and Siddiq and Shuhada and Salihin, and this indeed will be the best of companionship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to achieve that barakat and the blessing of this holy month, especially this night, tonight. And when you do your prayers, don't forget others. Especially, I request you to remember me also in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.